Welcome to episode 14 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent, voiceover trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with producer Lori White. Lori brings over 25 years of experience in the broadcast industry with a focus on sports networks. Listen in as she shares some of her stories and how she's seen the industry shift. Lori White, thank you so much for taking the time to join me and to chat this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Tina Z. It's always fun talking to you, and this is certainly a little different, but I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks so much. So I know you've been in broadcast for some time, and since what, like the past 25 years or so. What are the biggest changes you've seen within the broadcast industry?
Yeah, it's been since the mid-80s, and just a ton of changes. I don't think so much maybe back in the 80s and 90s, but certainly when, in terms of editing, which is why I do a lot of nonlinear editing, came in, I mean, the whole industry changed, and technology-wise, I mean, it became so much easier to produce videos and just open up so many more options and so much more cost-effective. So, you know, and it just seems like it's changing constantly, you know.
My sister's also a producer, and I didn't write this question down, but I'm just curious. When she got into the industry was just, you know, a producer, a field producer. And now she tells me many agencies and networks want the producer to be the producer, the editor, the shooter. Like, I think she called it a predator.
Yes, absolutely. The predator is a producer slash editor, which now I kind of consider myself. I don't shoot, but there are a lot of producers out there who do shoot. Uh-huh. And I'm a predator, and I don't feel like I'm strong enough in terms of the editors who are true editors who I work with. I mean, they're the editors, they're the experts. So I kind of do stuff on the first step. I'll do a few rough cuts and stuff like that, and then they'll finish it off. Shooting wise, I mean, I just don't do that at all. But you see it a lot. And I mean, technology wise, I mean, you know, heck, when I started, cameras used to weigh like probably 30 pounds, and now, you know, it's simple one-click handheld, you know, on your Canon or on your, you know, even iPhone, who knows?
I was just going to say, I've seen stuff with an iPhone that's amazing.
We kind of have become acclimated to seeing it and not thinking anything of it, you know, on news stories and stuff like that. I mean, people, it's like, okay, so you have these black sides and wings and, you know, it doesn't matter. People are just interested in the instantaneous video that you have. So it's a lot of change. I'm sure you've seen it too on your side.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, now, you know, technology is great on one hand because it makes things, you know, quicker, faster, and you can connect like you and I are speaking right now over Zoom. But anyone and everyone can say that they're a voiceover talent or that they're a producer. So I don't know, how do you, I mean, I guess you have the resume and you have the experience. I was going to say, how do you stand out amongst the noise?
Well, I think there is becoming more and more noise, and I guess, you know, I like to think that quality does stand out, but, you know, yeah. Everyone has to start somewhere. So I certainly don't begrudge people for getting involved. And the kids these days are so ambitious. I mean, they'll want to do everything and anything. So, you know, yeah, you know, I think it's just a period of adjustment. I would say there are negatives to it, but you have to adjust in this business. And I think now more so than ever.
Yeah, I like your attitude. I was just talking to a talent the other day, and he's been in the industry for a long time, and he was saying, you know, I don't feel like it's the agent's job anymore to get the work, and I don't feel like it's an East Coast, West Coast thing. I feel like the work's everywhere, and I'm like, yeah, but that's exciting, because now we are empowered.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the more positive and enthusiastic you are about that, as opposed to saying, hey, poor old me, it's not like it used to be, well, nothing stays the same forever, right?
So, amen.
Yeah, you just have to adjust.
Totally. So you've produced an array of different projects, from commercials to corporate videos to documentaries. Is there a specific area you prefer producing and why?
Really, there isn't. I came to realize a long time ago that, you know, mostly I do sports and, you know, it's mm-hmm. telling stories. So it doesn't really matter to me whether I'm telling a figure skating story or a football story or a golf story or doing it long form or short form. They all have their own challenges. I think that's mm-hmm. the fun thing about it. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, as long as I'm telling stories, that's what I really enjoy most about it. So it doesn't really matter what it is.
Have you seen, so you mentioned you've mainly been in the sports TV networks. Have you seen the area shift in terms of using female voiceover talent, or do you feel it's still mainly a male space?
Well, it's funny that you asked that because I think it's a really interesting question.
Okay.
I never really thought about it. I mean, so much of what I do is that if let's say you're doing a piece for the Super Bowl and Mike Tirico is kind of, you know, honchoing that piece, well, of course, you'd expect him to voice it. So a lot of times there aren't as many choices on my end that you might imagine. But you're right, it's mostly male-dominated for some reason. And it's not like I personally have a preference. I mean, for that reason that's so male-dominated, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, certainly, hey, let's put a female voice in there because it's going to stand out a little differently. And that's when I pick up the phone and call you always, actually. So, you know, I can't really explain why, but, it, you know, until you mentioned it, it's like I never really thought about it. Sometimes it's just the circumstances of what you're doing deems who's going to be the voice. And sometimes it's just a no-brainer like that. But then when you do have choices, I think that's, you know, that becomes interesting. And I kind of always, because I probably do the majority of voiceover with men, I probably kind of always say, hey, maybe let's go with a female voice and they'll stand out even more.
I'm curious, your sessions with voiceover talent, be it female or male, is there anything you've noticed that will make a particular talent stand out either in a positive way or a not so positive way?
Generally, you know, you always have the odd time when maybe someone's not in the greatest mood or whatever. But I think generally that, you know, everyone is putting a little piece of themselves into the project. And whether it's on the producing end, the shooting end, or the voicing end. So I think everyone generally, you know, shows up with a good attitude and wants to make it better. I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, probably the most craziest voiceover session I've ever had was for a documentary that I did probably about 15 years ago now. It was with Donald Sutherland.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And so I was very psyched about it, but the people up front warned me, you won't show up early enough. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, if you have an 8 o'clock session, he's here at 6 a.m. preparing.
And oh, God.
Sure enough, you know, I showed up at whatever the scheduled time was, and he was always there. And you could tell, he, you know, he made a little side comment. Yeah, last night I was reading this in front of the mirror. And I mean, you know, so he was, you know, and not just because he's a celebrity, but he was just, he's someone who obviously put so much amount of effort into it. And he didn't know anything about golf. It was a golf show. So he didn't know anything about golf. And you could tell that a little bit. But you also knew that here's a guy who really gives his all. And the other thing was the engineer told me, don't worry about the first 15 minutes of copy we record. We're going to throw it out. He'll go back at the end and redo it because he wants to. He doesn't feel like he's warmed up. And then sure enough, to top it off, you know, as we finished the session, it's like, okay, let's watch it back. The whole show, it was like an hour show. And yeah. So we sat together, we watched it. He made a few notes of things he wanted to do differently. And it was just a great experience. I mean, I'm sure that's certainly the rarity. But, you know, I've never really had negatives per se, but that's the extreme positive. And it was just a fun time and it was great.
How cool. Now, were you directing him or was he self-directing himself?
Well, I guess I kind of was directing him, but honestly, I was like, what am I going to add to Donald Sutherland?
I don't know, Lori.
Maybe, you know, maybe golf-wise and nuts and bolts, I could say, man, you probably wouldn't pronounce it this way or that way, but it's like, I think I was just sitting back and watching in awe mostly.
That is awesome. And I love that he's so committed to his craft. I'm sure he's that way about everything that he does within the industry.
I imagine only because, you know, they did say, here's the norm for him. He'll show up early. He'll throw out the first few minutes. You'll watch it, you know. And so, you know, from the acting standpoint, I have no idea, but certainly from the voiceover standpoint, and he's definitely made a nice career out of that alone. It's the way it is. So, and the topper is that, he was having car trouble that day, so I had to give him a ride home.
Oh, no way!
It was a fun day, yeah.
Was this in the West Coast?
Yeah.
How cool. Fun. That's a great...
Oh, sure. I suppose I can give you a ride home.
What the heck? It's on my way. Was his house nice?
You know what? I just dropped him off at a corner or something like that, so I never really saw the house. But
oh, I'd be like, do you mind if I have to use your restroom?
I wasn't thinking that quick on my feet, I guess.
So we met a while back when you were producing a piece for Puppies Behind Bars. Yes. And I'm just curious, how do you find the charitable videos that you produce? Because I know you also focus in that area as well.
Well, you know, it's definitely very different, primarily because charities don't have a lot of money to spend.
Right.
Which is the norm, but that's okay. But they're just so worthwhile. I mean, you know, fortunately, you know, it's not always about dollars and cents with me. And then when you can do some videos that really help other people and help their cause, then it's really satisfying. I mean, I enjoy that. I wouldn't want to make a living, couldn't make a living out of it, but it's really a good time. And, you know, it's just one of those experiences that broadens your horizon, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that job, we did that, I don't know how many, we did that 10 years ago, would you say? Over 10 years ago?
And I honestly don't recall how I found you, but you did a fabulous job. And then it was like, I've got something here, so.
Thank you. And I remembered that job. And the funny thing is, people who know Puppies Behind Bars became, I believe, put on the map because they were, Oprah did a piece on them. And friends of mine were, I don't know why, they decided to volunteer. And so they were on their website and I get a call. Are you the voice for this? It's like, oh my gosh, how random. Anywho.
Whole world, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess I would love to just end this by asking, how can people learn more about you, get connected with you? Do you ever listen to new talent demos?
Well, as you could tell by me trying to get hooked up through Zoom here, I'm not that technically savvy. So I am on LinkedIn, I believe, but I'm not really a Facebooker. So I don't know. Okay. I might have to hire you as an agent.
my new sideline career.
That's right.
I'll be your social media manager.
In terms of voiceovers, quite honestly, I have a very short list. And it's people like you who I've known for a long time. So I don't really go actively seeking new talent. If I need a female voice, it's like, you're the number I'm calling. You're the first person I'm calling. And then, you know, if some reason, hey, the client or something, it doesn't seem quite right, then it's like, okay, I'll probably have to find an alternative. But it's just, you know, the one thing I found in this business is the nicest times are when you can work with people you enjoy working with and who are friends. And that's why it's kind of a short list. It's not that I'm, you know, closed-minded to new talent or anything at all, but it's like, you know, when you've got someone good, like yourself, why pick up the phone and find someone else, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that because I coach folks in voiceovers as well, and I tell them, instead of like going out and trying to meet a bunch of people within the industry, why not just like cultivate the relationships with the people you already know and get to know them? Because in my experience, people hire those that they know, that they like, and that they trust. So, you know, you don't have to have a wide net, just zone in and go deep.
And if you work, you know, in enough different areas, it's, you know, it's rare that someone would say, hey, I've heard her here, I don't want to use her. You know, I mean, it's just my areas are fortunately very broad. So it's not like a charity video where I've necessarily heard a sports video I did. So it's, you know, it's kind of, I think for the clients, it's kind of new to them as well. So.
All right, Lori, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time. I think that you're fantastic and I enjoy working with you. And I know that my listeners are going to love hearing about you and your experience with Donald Sutherland and the producing world.
Well, thank you so much, Tina. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and it's always an honor. So
thank you.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor, Sam Ufret. Stay tuned next week for episode 15, where I'm talking with advertising creative, David Charlton. David is a seasoned creative who's worked on a ton of national network commercials and directed a fair amount of VO talent. You're in for a treat. And remember, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. Go to tinazaremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.